the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. What do you think makes the characters of this story alike? Why did Matthew choose to tell these stories together? Here we are in chapter 9 of the book of Matthew. He's recently summarized much of Jesus' teachings in chapters 5 through 7 in what we've come to know as the Sermon on the Mount. In chapter 8, we hear of Jesus healing leprosy, Jesus casting out demons, Jesus healing Peter's mother-in-law, and Jesus stilling the storm, signs of Jesus' great power. Now in chapter 9, Matthew tells us his personal call story. When I was preparing to go to seminary, I began the ordination process. In the Presbyterian Church, the process lasts a minimum of 2 years. And it begins with becoming an inquirer. To become an inquirer, one must be a member of a Presbyterian church for at least 6 months and then appear before the session, that is, the elders of the church. The elders ask questions like, why I felt God was calling me into the ministry. And then they decided whether to support the ordination process and take me under care. I was taken under care of First Presbyterian Church of Shreveport, Louisiana, then had to appear before the Committee on Preparation for Ministry, the CPM, of Pines Presbytery, which covers North Louisiana and South Arkansas. Before appearing, forms had to be filled out, which included essay questions about why I thought God was calling me to the ministry. After the committee decided to support me as an inquirer, I had to go to the next presbytery meeting and be voted on for inquirer status. And that began the two-year plus process. After telling the presbytery why I felt called, they voted and approved my status as an inquirer. During those 2 years, which involved multiple appearances before CPM, reports to the session, visits to seminaries, applications to seminaries, applications for scholarships, forms reporting to presbytery, attendance of seminary classes and seminars, appearance before presbytery to be raised to candidate status as certified ready to accept a call to ministry. I told my call story many, many times. It's interesting to me that Matthew tells his call story here. Simon Peter, maybe it's kind of like me. I waited, almost 2 years before I told y'all my call story? Except for this, the PNC. But he waits to this point in his book to tell his call story. It's interesting to note that Matthew told the call story of Simon Peter, Andrew, and James back in chapter 4 before the Sermon on the Mount. Here, Matthew is sitting at a tax booth where he's pursuing his very unpopular profession as a tax collector. When Jesus says, "Follow me," Matthew simply responds to the call by getting up and following Jesus. We do not have any backstory here, but it's apparent from the reaction of the Pharisees that they consider Jesus' association with Matthew and his kind to be associating with sinners. Their attitude was that good people did not hang out with bad people. Before we condemn the Pharisees, isn't it accepted wisdom that birds of a feather flock together? Didn't our mothers warn us about the company we keep? The band Three Dog Night sings of being at a party where bad things are happening, saying, "Mama told me not to come." But Jesus responds very differently. He says that those who are well have no need of a physician. Jesus states very clearly, "For I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." We in the church need to be ever mindful of this. It's been said that the church is most properly not a club for the righteous, but a hospital for sinners. Before we look around and judge those around us, we need to think of Jesus' mission to redeem sinners. Like Matthew, we need to identify our call story and see that we have been called by Jesus, not because we're righteous, but because we are sinners. Matthew is called not because he's an upstanding example of faith, but because his faith needs to be perfected. Now we have the story of a leader of the synagogue who comes to Jesus. In other gospels, this leader is identified as Jairus. It's interesting to note that Jairus asked Jesus to resurrect his daughter. His daughter who's already died. While this seems to be an act of great faith, it also might be seen as the last act of a desperate man. Was it only as a last resort that he came to Jesus? Regardless, Jesus chooses to heal her. Not because of any righteousness on Jairus' part. Even if coming to Jesus is a last resort, Jesus responds. In the midst of the story of Jairus and his daughter, we have a woman who suffered for a long time. It's interesting that Matthew takes us inside the woman's mind, who says to herself, "If only I touch the fringe of his cloak, I will be made well again." Again, she has tried everything else. She suffered for 12 years. Touching the fringe of Jesus' cloak is a desperation play. Some have made a big deal out of the touch of the woman making Jesus unclean. But Amy Jill Levine, an Orthodox Jew who's also a New Testament scholar, points out in the Women's Bible Commentary that hands do not convey impurity. See Leviticus 15:25-33. She goes on to say, the better understanding of Matthew 8 and 9 is in terms of inclusivity. Jesus encounters a range of individuals, poor and rich, male and female, healthy and ill, sinners and saints, those with strong support networks and those depicted as on their own. What we see in Matthew's call story and in Jesus healing different people who display different levels of faith is that healing is in the hands of God, not a matter of individual merit. I recently read of a woman who went to seminary and saw a classmate struggling to descend some stairs. It was obvious that he was struggling with a physical disability. In a moment of religious fervor, she went to the man and said, "If you have enough faith, God will heal you." He responded, "God already has." It's been said that the phrase, "we are saved is by faith in Christ," is better translated from the Greek as "we are saved by the faith of Christ." By the faith of Christ. Whatever the proper translation, the takeaway from our stories today is that perfecting our faith is not what saves us. God's perfect love and gift of faith is what redeems us. Thanks be to God that God loves even us when our faith is imperfect. Amen.